You're listening to Cattails.
Hi, I'm Kat, and you're listening to Cattails. This edition is one from my archive of analogue recordings from 2007 with the then Mrs. Steve Earle. Grammy-nominated alternative country singer Alison Mora was performing at Cambridge Folk Festival when I caught up with her, and we chatted about her forthcoming album and what makes her tick. This is the one with Alison Mora.
To the girl record, and I went, Of my next album written.
Right.
But to tell you the truth, I was a bit sick of myself at the moment. And, you know, I had done, written and recorded, I think, 5 albums in 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. And so I was a little bit wiped out, a little bit burned out, and honestly just a little sick of myself and wanted to sing someone. I just wanted to not necessarily sit back and take a break, but I just wanted to sing without having to worry about, oh, is this good enough, you know? So I wanted to do a cover record. That's way too broad for me. I have to have some sort of criteria. If I just said, I want to do a cover record, well, I'd still be like, you know, trying to whittle down the list of 200.
Yeah, yeah, getting bigger.
So, and I wanted to do female singer-songwriters because, honestly, I think we're overlooked.
Right.
I think we get near enough attention. You know, we're usually running after some guitar player that can't wipe his own butt.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's sort of like, you know, just like in the rest of the world, women have to do it all. You know, in the music business, we have to show up, look great, sing great, perform great, do it all, and be nice and smile and all that stuff.
Too.
It's a lot of pressure. And there's also, you know, in my 10 years in the music business, I've found that, you know, women are encouraged to not express their femininity. You know, they want us to look feminine and be feminine. But as far as, you know, our writing and our expression, oh, don't be too feminine. It makes us men uncomfortable or whatever.
Yeah,
which is a real tragedy because women, as you know, have a real different way of expressing themselves.
Yeah.
Communicate differently. And I wanted to explore that. I also wanted to make this record and say, look at these great songs. They're all written by women. And, you know, women that have made a real impact. And so I just wanted to, it's a bit of a selfish exercise.
Yeah, no, that's great.
I just wanted to stand up and go, look at this.
And also sort of, I suppose, taking a step back at it for yourself and giving yourself time to maybe take out elements of those songs as well, learn something new about yourself.
It was also, you know, I also wanted to come out a better writer, learning about songwriting more.
Yeah.
And also, I wanted to explore just being a singer, because I feel like that's what I am first and foremost.
Yeah.
And but, you know, I couldn't have done this record successfully 2 years ago. I wasn't singer enough to do it, you know? I don't think I was artist enough to do it. I wasn't confident enough to do it. I think that I am finally at this point. You know.
But that's maturity, isn't it? You know, it comes through, you know, the terrible thing, like you were saying there about women having to, you know, have to look good, you have to be good, you have to do it. The pressure's on.
And be nice.
And be nice
about it.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. But yet, you know, in a way, you need that maturity and that time element, don't you, to be able to get that experience, to be able to put into your work.
Yeah.
And then it starts to all work against you, doesn't it? Because, like, you know, you're getting too old, or, you know, people don't want to see you, you know.
It's right. Yeah, that's why 50 is great. That's why you're old is great.
Absolutely.
But if you establish yourself as a real artist and one who's committed to doing it for the right reasons, or as far as I'm concerned, singing and playing because you cannot do it, if you can establish yourself in this world, it's not like being a pop star. And for those who would want that,
I know,
you know,
I know, that must be even worse.
Yeah.
I think you've got enough. I mean, to stand up there and do what you do, I have so much admiration. You know, I couldn't do it. I mean, I never had the talent. So I just could actually go out there and do it. Yeah, do you ever get stage fright? You know, do you think that, oh, God.
Oh, from time to time, I do. You know, 5 minutes before the show, I'll get it, you know, butterflies. And I think that's really healthy.
I think you're right.
I sort of get excited when I do, because, you know, I've been doing it for a while. I've been performing since I was a kid. But, you know, what you have to do is learn how to use that and make the tension work for you.
Yeah,
but
it
takes a while to learn how to do that stuff. You know, and like I said, you know, just as a singer, you know, learning what not to do is just as, if not more important than learning what to do.
Yes,
and learning how to control
true.
Your voice and get the right, you know, the pitch the way you want it to be.
Yeah,
and it's not, you know, it's not all about that. It's not all about being perfect. It's about communicating at the end of the day.
That's so true.
And,
because that's another women thing, isn't it? A woman understands that it's about communication, whereas a man's got to go out there, it's got to be the best of the time, or, you know, in his eyes, and it's a different thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Looking forward to hearing your album there. That's going to be a good one.
Thank you.
Excellent.
I'm very proud of it.
Yeah. On that subject, actually, sort of like women and men, being married to such a sort of famous name, do you find that his name overshadows you? I mean, you've established yourself well before, obviously, you got married to Steve, but have you seen any change in that? You know, do you suddenly feel that you're maybe overshadowed by him, or have you been able to keep your own identity and continue with that?
Well, I try very hard to keep my own identity. It's not as easy as that just because we do tour together. We're together all the time, and that's by design. We want to do that.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is just not worry about that.
You're right.
That's just a recipe for disaster.
It is,
I'm totally happy for him to be the more famous one. That's fine. That's actually okay. I have a great life. I'm actually really happy with where I am career-wise. I mean, we could always be better. You can always sell more records. You always make more money.
But it's like, you know what? It's also okay just to be all right with where it is.
Of course. And instead of having just that ambition that won't stop. You know, I am very ambitious. Or, you know, I wouldn't be here. But at the end of the day, it's like you just have to look at where you are and go, you know what, this is pretty good.
It's good for me.
Maintaining, I think, in the where the music business is these days, it's like, if you can maintain,
you've done really good. But I think something like, as you said, a festival like this is good because it also gives you an opportunity to air your music to a new audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe.
And to meet people and go out and sign autographs in the Mojo tent and have people come up and, you know. And I saw some people today that I, you know, had seen before.
Yes.
And, you know, some I hadn't seen
before. Yeah.
I hope you'll see them again.
People on the way, don't you? So what inspires you with your songwriting, then? You know, obviously, what you said there, I'm just talking to you, you're a very opposite thinker. So, what really inspires you in subject matter to actually write a song?
Whatever's going on.
Yes.
Whatever's going on at the time. Like, you know, most of the time it's something directly influenced with whatever's going on. Sometimes something will come out of the blue, though. It's just no predicting it. And I've never gotten enough handle on it to really figure it out, and I don't even want to. I just want to let the lightning strike and be prepared when it does.
So it's not like a conscious process. I'm going to sit down today and write about this, world peace or whatever. Or is it just more
not with me? No, I know some people do that, but you know, I do the thing of keeping notebooks going. You know, if I have a thought or if I have an idea, I'll jot it down. And you know, I may not be in the mode to write at that moment, so I'll just jot it down. And then if I have some time, and I feel inspired to pick up the guitar, I will go back through those notes, and you know, several songs have happened during that process. Mostly with me, it comes out of pure inspiration, and I've got something that just won't leave me alone.
Right.
Because writing is not really my favorite thing to do.
No, it's
just to do it, and I am a writer, even though
took you by surprise.
But, I think it was Norman Mailer who said, I like having written. Someone asked him if he enjoyed writing. He said, no, I don't enjoy writing. I enjoy having written.
I understand that, too.
So that's kind of where I am.
I understand that. I mean, the journalists have exactly the same thing. You know, we have that painful moment.
You've got your 1,200 words.
Yeah, and you can only sort of kind of get going. I wanted to, so I'm very conscious of your time here. Just wanted to sort of finish off with obviously the obvious question about tragic childhood and all the things that have been written about that. What I was just interested, I don't want to go over obviously many questions you've had on that, I'm sure you don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But just, you know, how has that type of thing influenced you, as a woman, you know, talking about your record that's coming out there. What sort of good things have come from that, if any?
Well, I think good things come out of anything if you let it. Obviously it's made me incredibly independent. I had no choice but to be independent.
Yeah.
You know, from a very young age. The events with my parents are not really the most important things about them. You know, their lives influence me way more than their deaths.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, even though they had their troubles, they were really nice, talented people, and somehow, you know, they managed to raise me.
Yeah.
They died when I was 14, but I got the skills and the tools to be a self-sufficient adult and be able to make decisions and functions.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they were very musical, so growing up in their house, you know,
was all around me.
And
of course, your sisters, you know, had a good successful career.
You know, they passed on their talents.
Yeah.
And, And, you know, hopefully they're looking down and
of course.
And yeah, they're enjoying it.
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah. So after you record next year, where are you going to go sort of in the future? What's your sort of master plan? That's your final question, because I know you want to get off.
My plan is to, after Mockingbird comes out,
yeah,
and whatever happens when that happens, I'll write another album.
Yeah.
So my next album will hopefully be
when you halfway through.
Yeah. I'm writing for it now. It's designing it, and I always have some sort of plan cooking up. But you know, I sew a lot. I, you know, do embroidery. As if I don't have enough to do. I have some dresses in a shop in New York.
Oh, it's great.
Doing stuff like that, and you know, exploring all those feminist arts.
Yeah, wonderful.
So I'm getting that going, and always doing something.
I enjoy life.
Yeah.
Great.
Going
thank
flower.
You so much. Thank you very much
you.
For talking to me.
Nice to talk to you.
You've been listening to Cat Tales. To listen again to this and other tales, go to cattales.co.uk.